play it twice, Sully.
Double down on the sweet emotion.
That's how Leafs fans are feeling after that double overtime win on Saturday against the Washington Capitals. Taking a win in Washington's barn. Now game three shifts to the Air Canada Center here on Toronto's soil. They're getting ready. Maple Leaf Square's getting all dolled up for the occasion. 4-3 win for the Toronto Maple Leafs as they even up the series. Welcome back into Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. Streaming online today, TSN.ca. Andy Petrillo alongside Patrick O'Sullivan. At morning skate, Nikita Zaitsev confirming he is back in. I should say Mike Babcock confirmed because Nikita Zaitsev is not allowed. He put out a tweet with him skating saying, be back soon. Whoops, that got taken down. But the boy is in. It makes up for the fact that Roman Polak is out for the rest of the series, which is, or I should say season. So even if they were to move on, that is pretty crappy that they lose Roman Polak. But the way he went down on that leg, ugh.
It's different. Different. It doesn't, it's not a wash, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they're completely different players, but getting Zaitsev back should help.
Yeah.
It should help a number of different ways.
Zaitsev will be alongside Gardner, at least based on morning skate. Hunwick and Riley will stay together. How about Hunwick, though, by the way? I mean, so this is the thing, and I asked this at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. I'm going to ask it again. Like, would you, if I had asked you 4 months ago, if I had said, hey, you know what, Roman Polak, you're going to be really disappointed if he can't play in the playoffs, would you have laughed in my face? And how about if I said the same thing about Hunwick? Hey, Hunwick, by the way, is going to put up 25 plus minutes and be one of their best defensemen.
I wouldn't, but I think there's a lot of people who don't understand what those guys bring that would have. You know, they see, well, what's Dermott? You know, he can do what Hunwick does. No, he cannot. So it's just, I get it. I mean, neither one of them move the puck well. Neither are the best skaters, but they know how to play in the league. And there's something to that, and you can't quantify it.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, if you can't quantify it, there's always going to be a certain group of people that get upset about it because they don't know anything else. They can't watch and analyze. If it doesn't show up on a, you know, in a chart, it can't mean anything, right? No, it's true, though.
Well, and then that Mike Babcock clip that we aired earlier where you said, I love what he said about Zaitsev. Well, you'll find out when you watch him play, like if he's going to be okay, if he's going to get the minutes. And that's the thing. Like, it's hard to look at a sheet and say, okay, this is why Hunwick or, you know, Polak's been good. But if you watch the game, they're playing their role. They're not playing outside their role. And that's also been pretty key with the defense.
Yes, they don't have a lot of skill. So immediately people think, well, they stink. Well, they're both smart. They're smart because they know their limitations. They're smart because they understand who they're playing against. And they're smart because they keep it simple for the most part. Like, do you think Mike Babcock would play these guys if they were brutal? Like, I don't get it. That's why Marinson hasn't played more than 5 games in the last 3 months. Because he wasn't any good.
Is he surprising you?
That's why Kapanen hadn't played all year. Why is that? Why didn't he play all year if he was so good? Because he wasn't ready to play.
Well, he was injured for a while too, right?
Okay, that's fine. Why didn't he make the team out of camp? Because he wasn't good enough. Because Connor Brown took his spot.
Yep.
Because Zach Hyman took his spot, right?
Brown's been great,
we'll
too.
We'll go into this more in the grades. But
yeah,
it's that same kind of thinking that it gets you into trouble if you don't watch how they play over the course of time, too. Like, guys are allowed to improve over what they did last year, right?
So let's get to said grades of the game, shall we?
It's time to find out who made the grade. This is Leafs Lunch. Grades of the game.
Grades of the game brought to you by Borrowwell.com, Canada's leading online provider of personal loans and free credit scores. I've been gracious. I've let other people go first. I'm going
fire
first.
Fire away, Andy. Take control.
Speaking of fire, Freddie Anderson gets an A+. Even in that game one, and I know we always want to highlight that overtime goal and how could you get beat by Tom Wilson and how did you not know where the puck was on that second one, blah, blah, blah. I still thought he was really solid in game one, and I thought he was phenomenal in game two. The golden number when it comes to save percentage has been, well, if he wants to win, if he wants to outplay Braden Holtby, it has to be a .940 save percentage.
Who said that? I find that interesting.
Yeah, I don't know where the hockey pundits got the number from, but I guess
pundits.
They were. Yes, Pundits.
I don't like pundit.
Pundits.
How What's do you a say pundit?
Pundits. I always found that word is very awkward to
What's
say.
What's a pundit? Like, why is it?
An expert.
Why are you a pundit? It's an expert?
Yeah, so they look at the numbers. This is what they do. They look at the numbers and they say, you want to beat Washington?
Well, I can tell you why.
And you want to beat Braden Holtby? 940 is
yeah,
the number you have
to achieve.
Because
they're going to have more shots and chances.
There you go.
Guess what we've seen in the first two games? More shots, more chances. So
936, though, in the last two games. So not too shabby for my boy, Freddie. So he gets an A+. He's been a teacher's pet all season long, and there's a reason why. I'm going to give the young kid, the 20-year-old, Kasperi Kapanen, I'm going to give him an A. I mean, in general, I really like that fourth line. I gave that fourth line a really good grade after game one as well. Because, again, I said, don't look at that OT goal. It was crappy. It was unfortunate. But the whole game, they were so good.
The same group of people that think Hanwick and Polak are junk also think the fourth line shouldn't play.
Ugh.
You like your fourth line after the first couple games?
Yeah.
You should.
They've been good. They've been really good. Energy, all three. I mean, I just happen to be highlighting Kapanen because he got two goals, right? He gets the tying goal, and then he gets the OT goal. So that's why I'm highlighting him, and I thought he was really good. I also want to give an honorable mention to just JVR. Four-game point streak going back to the last two games of the regular season. He's put up 5 points, 4 goals in that time. So I think JVR has been doing one heck of a job. When we say the veterans need to step up, the guys who have been there, a little bit older, lead the way, he's doing it.
No, it's a great point. And everybody coming into the playoffs, I think everybody thought, well, yeah, how's that Bozak line going to do? They get the softer of the matchups at home. You know, the Matthews line, the Kadri line get the harder of the matchups. You know, they're on the road, can't protect them as much as maybe they're protected at home. I wouldn't use the word protected. I think it's an optimal matchup, mainly due to what you have outside of that line. It's not so much about them as if Babcock's scared. I mean, Bozak takes every faceoff in his own zone. So if you're concerned about him in his own zone, he's not taking the draw because, as we know, you know, you basically lose half of them. So it's a good point. I mean, he's been really good. Marner's been really good. Matthews' line has been the worst of the four. That's inarguable. If you look at scoring chances... If you look at scoring chances against when he's on the ice. So hopefully at home, Babcock can get more out of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Hyman has had more chances than Matthews and Nylander.
Okay, can I just say, you know
this
how...
This is an hour and 8 minutes before I even mentioned his name.
This is true. But so here's the thing. Mike Babcock has said a lot about Hyman being a workhorse and he's always in the gym
we
and
all
he works
know
out
that.
Hard. But I will say this. A game that goes into double overtime, he was like the Energizer Bunny. Like, the conditioning came into effect because he just wasn't slowing down. He was playing in double overtime the way he was playing in the first 5 minutes of the game.
He doesn't have a choice, though, Andy, and it's been like that probably his whole life. That's how he plays. If he doesn't do that, he cannot go on the ice because he can't do anything else.
That's exhausting.
Have we seen that? Have we seen that enough yet? The poor kid, he can't do anything else, so he better work. He better. That's why he's in the league. And he's unbelievable at it.
Yeah, he was a workhorse in that game. Whoa. I was getting exhausted just watching him. But there are my grades.
If he could finish.
This is true. This is true.
That's my bigger point with him and Matthews. It's not like the obvious argument is not to go off the rails here with the grades, but people are like, well, Matthews had 40 goals. What's he going to have with someone else? 50? No, he's probably not going to have any more than 40, but he'd have 40 assists.
That's what you're talking about, is having...
Why is he? I mean, Matthews. He didn't even get 70 points this year. Why is that? Because he didn't get any assists.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
so A+ to Anderson for me, and A to Kapanen, and I gave an honorable mention to JVR, who has been leading the way and looking really good. Four games, but in these two playoff games, looking good.
My grade, my first one ties into Kapanen. I'm going to give the fourth line as a whole an A.
Mm-hmm.
They've been really good with a limited amount of ice time through two games. And now this is with overtime, right? So basically 8.5 periods. Their average ice time is only around 13 minutes, which isn't a lot. So you've gotten a lot out of them. Matt Martin was the reason they scored the second and third goal. He created both. without a big physical player that can hang onto the puck, you don't get either of those goals.
Mm-hmm.
So for anybody complaining about him, I suggest you look elsewhere for your complaints. Same with Brian Boyle. That's what a guy, that's, see that play that he made on that game-winning goal, mm-hmm, that Kapanen scored, that my son, who's 6 years old, could have put into the net? Find another fourth-line center. If I hear one more person talk about how good Jay Beagle is, I'm going to barf. Did you see the play Brian Boyle made? That's not a fourth-line centerman that makes that play. That's why you go and get him, because obviously the face-offs, the penalty killing, whatever. But he can also make those plays.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's been great. Hey, you're preaching to the choir over here when it comes to that.
No, I know, but
line.
It's just like we talked about earlier. It's the same people that think Polak and Hunwick are useless. They have the same opinion. They think it's like, well, why isn't Leipzig up? Why isn't Leipzig up instead of Matt Martin? There's a group of people that think that's the way it should be.
Oh, come on.
No? You don't think so? Do you have Twitter?
See, because
I get inundated with that garbage.
Yeah, thank goodness I don't get that. But here, it's the inferiority. I wonder if it is an inferiority complex around some of the Leafs fan base because they haven't been good for so long, because they're going up against a President's Trophy winner, that you shield yourself from disappointment by constantly talking about the good of the other team. And you've got great players. You've got a great fourth line, too.
The media is the worst. Like, I'm going to ask Bobby Mack. All he's talking about before the series was Jay Beagle. And Toronto's fourth line has been much better than theirs.
Well, Bobby Mack is like, he's a guy that never takes sides with any team. So
no,
it wouldn't surprise
saying,
me.
I'm
that,
just
you
saying,
know.
Like, you talk up, like, to your point, yeah, you talk up everybody else. Well, the guys that play for the team in blue and white are pretty good, too. And they've shown that. And to go back to Kapanen, he's been really good since he's come up. But you can take the goals he scored and throw them out the window as far as what's made him good. Of course, he scored maybe the two biggest goals of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But they're goals that Josh Levo could have scored or anybody else, that if you just go to the right spot on the ice, you score them. Now, that's easier said than done. But my point is, he's been effective because of the forechecking, because of the penalty kill, because of the speed, because of the ability to cycle the puck, because of the ability to get in a shooting lane. That's why he's playing. It's not because of his offense. And it's not because he had a pointy game in the minors.
No, but his hockey sense is good.
Yes, he's very smart. Mm-hmm. There's guys that have a pointy game in the minors that don't get a sniff in the NHL. That doesn't mean you're going to be good. Those guys are a dime a dozen. I've said that before. Craig Button said the same thing. They're a dime a dozen. You want to hear some? Sure, I wrote some down. Cal O'Reilly, TJ Hensick, Brett Sterling, Darren Haydar, Andy Mealy, Chris Bourque, Dustin Jeffrey, Tim Kennedy, Ryan Patulny, Keith Acoin, Martin St. Pierre, Nigel Dawes, Corey Locke, Mark Mancari, Alex Giroux, Brock Trotter.
How long have you been
sitting
on that?
Do you know anybody of those guys? Do you know any of those guys?
How long have you been?
How'd they do in the NHL? How'd they do? Not good. You know why? Because they couldn't think, or they couldn't compete, or they didn't know where to go on their
own. So what I'm hearing is you're actually praising Kapanen. Because he's got hockey sense. Because he's.
But my question is, why
translating that to the NHL?
Yes, but why didn't he make the team out of camp? What's the reason?
I don't get that. Because
he didn't compete. Because he didn't compete hard enough. Because he wasn't doing the things he had to do to play.
Yeah, don't take it
for granted
that you're going to make.
Connor Brown took a spot. Zach Hyman took a spot. Josh Levo took a spot. They kept Milan Mihalik instead of him. You can go down the list if you want. The reason he's in the NHL isn't because he had 40 points in 40 games in a league that's littered with guys like that. It's because he did the other things. That's why he's up. That's why he's been effective. And if you don't think that's the case, you're clueless. You're absolutely clueless. Ask the coach. He'll tell you the same thing. Other grade, D-Core, A. Marty Marinson, A. Jake Gardner, A. Riley, A. Hunwick, A. Polak, 4 A's, because his leg broke in two and he didn't cry.
Oh.
Those guys, as limited as they may be and as critical as anybody can be with them at times, like Jake Gardner did his normal stuff, you can throw that all out the window. Marty Marinson, normal plays, mistakes that he makes, who cares? You play that long and you compete that hard and you beat a team of that quality, A-plus performance. That's just guts at the end of the day. That's all it is. And if you don't respect that, then
it really
you're an idiot and you don't understand hockey. Because what those guys did the other night is more impressive than anything the forwards did.
It's pretty incredible what they did. It also shows, I mean, the incredible shape that they're in. But here's another thing. They didn't try to do too much. And this is what we typically see sometimes as well, right? When you're down, maybe you panic. Okay, we're down another D-man. Let me try and do something to try and help this team. That's probably when you're going to turn the puck over. That's probably when you're going to be out of position. We did not see any of that. It was the whole keep it simple, stupid. Just get the puck, get it out. Get the puck, get it out.
Yes. And you know what? It's funny because a lot of times during the season, they wouldn't do that. It was like, well, especially a guy like Jake Gardner is a good example. He's skilled enough to make plays. He makes really nice ones. And sometimes he just refuses to make the simple play. But it's almost like because of the situation and the injuries and everything else, in the minutes he's having to play, just making the easy play more often. And what that does is it doesn't let the other team forecheck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Washington wants. They want to forecheck, get the puck, hang on to it, and keep it. And that's what the Leafs have prevented, and that's why they've had some success through two games.
Well, Pierre LeBrun wrote an article where he pulled five coaches, GMs from across the league to just get their thoughts on the Washington-Toronto series, and almost all of them wrote back and said it's Toronto's speed that's making them a factor because they're getting to the puck first. And when you talk about that whole forecheck, well, if Toronto's getting to the puck first, Washington can't speed, get it in the zone.
Yeah, but the thing to understand is it's not always speed like skating, like moving your legs fast. It's decision-making. It's recognizing, okay, my buddy's in trouble. I got to get open to help him quicker.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you limit what the other team wants. And you'll see tonight, Washington's going to try to eliminate Toronto's ability to do the things that make them effective. Mm-hmm. That's why this is fun. It goes back and forth.
So A's across the board. So many others that we could give A's to. We talked about the Kadri line just, you know, being a factor here, which is why we're hearing Barry Trotz might split up, you know, Backstrom and Ovechkin because the Kadri line's been getting the better of them. So he wants to spread them out to be a little bit more effective. You know, players, they've just been fantastic. So A's all around for that win in Washington. Now it shifts back to Toronto. Grades of the game brought to you by Borrowell.com. Do you know your financial grade? With digital innovator Borrowell.com, you can check your credit score for free and get approval on a personal loan up to $35,000. Get graded today at Borrowell.com. TSN hockey insider Bob McKenzie is going to be joining us here on Leafs Lunch as you continue to listen on TSN 1050 and streaming online, tsn.ca. Welcome back into Leafs Lunch here on TSN 1050, streaming online, tsn.ca. Follow us on Twitter, Leafs Lunch 1050. Listen to us on iHeartRadio. Toronto Maple Leafs at home, Game 3, playing their first playoff game at the ACC since May 12th, 2013. Rally towels are already out. Maple Leafs Square is getting all dolled up for the big occasion. Yanni Petrillo alongside Patrick O'Sullivan in studio. And now time for our TSN Hockey Insider, Bob McKenzie. This Hockey Insider is brought to you by Finance It. How you doing, Bob?
Good afternoon, evening, whatever, morning. There we go, whatever it is.
And playoffs, you're up late. You have no clue what time it is.
Exactly.
You go with it.
Got a case of the Mondays, Bob?
could very well be. Could very well be, Patrick.
Oh, So how much was the glass-banging guy bothering you in that Rangers-Montreal game?
Well, I don't know if you know, we bought a house a year and a half ago and it had surround sound, and because I'd never put that in myself, but in any case, it's really good. But I'm pretty sure that the microphone for glass banging guy was right at the piece of glass that he was banging, and whatever way our surround sound was set up, there was one speaker that was devoted entirely to glass banging guy. So as much as I tried to listen to the game, and I could never begin to, I'm not technical tech savvy enough to adjust the surround sound, I got a steady diet of glass banging guy for much of the game.
And you know what, Bob, from a player's point of view, you know, sitting on the bench, you don't notice the guy that's screaming, but you notice the jackass that's banging on the glass all game. And you're sitting there, and you tell your buddy beside you, like, look at this idiot.
What if you're the goalie?
That's why when Kapanen got the overtime winner, Boyle was banging on the glass.
Exactly.
Right back at him.
Oh, highly annoying. So the news just came down that Zach Greinke out rest, or at least for the next game, with his facial fractures. I mean, you know, everyone was, I have to admit, I put it out on Twitter yesterday, like, what a warrior. The kid who we all think is going to be, you know, one of the finalists for Rookie of the Year, takes a puck to the face, gushing blood, comes back with, like, cotton, you know, shoved up his schnoz, his eyes swollen shut. He's got a cage on, and then now we find out he's gone.
Yeah, it's terrible. I'm just looking at the the report from the Blue Jackets here. Gone for the remainder of the season, it says. So that's not great. I haven't got the details there, but I'm going to guess broken orbital bone. But and that quite often is why the face swells up as badly as it does, and it explains why his eye was shut, closed shut, and he couldn't play in the overtime. The fact that he came back at all and was able to play is ridiculous.
Bob, looking at the Leafs series, how impressive has it been that through their warts and issues and everything else that we know about, how impressive is it that the defense has been able to kind of play the way they've had to and plug the holes when needed?
Really good. Mike Babcock and his coaching staff are wizards, because, you know, in theory, it should be a mismatch. We've watched this Leaf team enough over the course of the year in terms of the quality and quantity of scoring chances that they give up. Now, let's be fair here. I mean, Freddie Anderson's been busy, and he's had to be really, really good. But even so, they're still not spending nearly as much time in their own end as we thought they might. And the biggest advantage that Washington has over the Toronto Maple Leafs has not been that big an advantage at all, simply because the Leafs have been getting it up and out. Now, the Leafs are a good skating defense, and whatever flaws at times we've seen from Morgan Riley or Jake Gardner, and even, you know, Matt Hunwick in elevated minutes, those three guys in particular are all really good skaters. And if they can insulate everybody by getting that puck and getting it up and out and not spending as much time, I mean, that tying goal shift, there was like a minute and 18 seconds where the Capitals just beat down on the Toronto Maple Leafs, all five guys on the ice, and just wore them down to the point where they finally scored a goal. And that's what I thought the Caps would be doing a lot more of. And the fact that they haven't been able to dictate that style of play on a consistent basis takes away the single biggest edge that they had. Because the fact is, and we talked about this going in, offensively, the Leafs match up very well with them. The Leafs have, you know, and right now the fourth line's never been more dangerous than it is. But the first three offensive lines are all capable of generating offense, and the Leafs are a quicker team up front than the Caps are. We knew that going in, but we didn't think that we thought all that might get negated by the fact that there appeared to be a significant mismatch of Washington forwards, heavy Washington forwards, relentlessly pounding and wearing down a mistake-prone, giveaway-prone defense, and that hasn't been the case to the degree we thought it was, and that's why we've got a series.
After game one, we talked about the Stars canceling each other out. So the Matthews line didn't end up on the board. Well, guess what? Neither did the Backstrom line, with the exception of Oshie with game one in the power play picking up an assist. But game two, you know, Ovi gets a goal, Backstrom gets a goal. The Matthews line still not showing up on the score sheet. I mean, just in your opinion, when you take a look at them, you know, what is it that they need to do to just kind of pick up the game and start scoring, which is, you know, let's face it, that's kind of what they're meant to do.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, playoffs are playoffs, and some guy, and listen, it's not like there haven't been stretches this season when the Matthews line hasn't scored. Mm-hmm. There have been two or three times where for multiple games at a time, Austin Matthews has cooled right off. And maybe that's one of those right now. And everything gets magnified in the playoffs. It's after game one, the narrative in the Montreal New York Rangers story was Montreal can't score. And it didn't matter that Tanner Glass was the only guy that got a goal in the game, and that the New York Rangers were having a tough time scoring too, because they won 1-0. So they didn't have to answer those questions. Montreal did. Well, then, and it looks like Montreal's on the verge of losing until Planets ties it up in the dying seconds, and they win it in overtime. And then they go into New York, and they all of a sudden Radulov's alive, and now all of a sudden everything's about the Rangers as a no-show on home ice, and the narrative's completely flipped. And so that's how quickly things can change in this game, and especially in the playoffs. So I don't think Matthews needs to do anything different other than just keep going. And, you know, he had a few more really good opportunities. He had that one where he fanned on in the last game, and I thought that's kind of how it's gone for him lately and kind of typifies it. But I wouldn't be overly concerned if I'm the Leafs. You're generating enough that you assume he's going to come to the party at some point. And in the meantime, you focus on what you've been doing, and that is getting great goaltending from Anderson, spending less time in your own end than you thought you were because the defense are playing so well, and make sure that Riley, Gardner, and Hunwick in particular don't wear down or break down.
Yeah, I agree, Bob. I think because there's time, you can take that approach. My question is, though, if it comes a point where it's do or die and you still have nothing from him or, say, another line, like, are you going to – well, we haven't seen it. I know it's easy to say, oh, yeah, I know. I think the same thing, but we haven't seen it once all year.
Oh, you're talking about switching up his line.
Yeah, or the other lines. Like, I'm saying at what point, because we haven't seen it with Babcock, like, at what point do you think that would ever happen?
Yeah, that's a good question. And because Mike Babcock's not predisposed, certainly on the Hyman front, and that's where I'm assuming you're going, because they're, you know, he's either had Connor Brown or Nylander on the right side. So he has switched up the line. He just hasn't switched up the part of the line that you know you think is a head scratcher, and fair enough. I mean, but you know, you heard Babcock. Somebody asked a question about Hyman the other night, and he nearly went through the roof. I'm glad you noticed. He's a great player.
Yeah, I think he might live in his basement.
So I don't know. You're right. If you get down to crunch time, would you do that? And you know, the answer is they haven't had to find out in the past, because any time that crescendo reached a loud level, then, you know, suddenly Matthews would start scoring again, and people would say, well, there you go, you don't need to do it.
Right.
But now, in a very confined period of time where elimination is the outgrowth of it, I'm not sure what it would take for Babcock to take Hyman off the line. My guess is he's stubborn. He's predisposed to stick with the process and believe in the process, and then see where we're at.
Bob, do we know exactly what the injury is to Polak?
No, I haven't heard. I wouldn't be surprised if it's either a real bad high ankle sprain, could be a broken leg. Who knows? I mean, ankles aren't supposed to bend, or legs aren't supposed to bend like that. So, you know, but it's obviously season ending, and it's too bad, because, you know, it's a loss. It's great that they're getting Zaitsev back. You know, Polak and Hunwick had been very good down the stretch, and Hunwick of the guys is obviously, with the extra minutes, has been real strong, I think, in the first two games. He's looked really good, and he's done a tremendous job.
Bob, thanks so much for taking the time, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
That is Bob McKenzie, TSN Hockey Insider. This Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance It, monthly payment plans for big dreams and everyday budgets. And I also love how he put it on Twitter yesterday, because I guess somebody tweeted him saying how he's not paying attention or talking about the St. Louis-Minnesota series. And Bob basically puts out, if I'm not talking about your team, it's because I hate your team. Obviously, tongue-in-cheek. There's only so many teams you can talk about at once.
You mean there's simpletons on Twitter?
Oh, Bobby, he's funny this time of year. I wanted to air this before we break. We're going to have Adam Oates, who's going to join us, former head coach of the Washington Capitals, Hockey Hall of Famer. This is what I love. I love when coaches subtly say things, maybe sometimes not so subtly say things in their press conferences that, you know, are messages to each other, because, you know, players get their business done on the ice. Coaches have to do it through the microphone. So this was head coach Mike Babcock once again. And we know heading into the series, he had made reference to understanding what it's like to be a President's Trophy winner, because he was that with Detroit, and then losing. And a lot of people said he's trying to play mind games with Barry Trotz. So he had to reiterate it once again when he talked about being, you know, the expectant winner and being the underdog, and how, you know what, it really does cause pressure.
And what I tried to say to you before, I've lived both situations. I've lived where you're the underdog and you're not supposed to win, and I've lived where you're the best team in hockey and you're supposed to win. And they're totally different. And people can tell you they're not. I've lived it. They're different. Believe me.
And, of course, Barry Trotz, and the reason I feel Babcock reiterating that
He's lived it. So he knows. He's lived it.
Because Barry Trotz tried to...
That's an interesting point.
He tried to throw water on that one, right? So Babcock once again coming at him with that one.
Yeah, I mean, look, this doesn't affect anything. I mean,
no, but I love it. I still love it.
It's great. It's entertainment. But, I mean, as far as with the players, like the players... Players on Washington know they finished first. The players on Washington don't care that Mike Babcock lost to the Edmonton Oilers 10 years ago.
So that's Babcock saying his piece. But then here's Barry Trotz, because this is another thing we've been talking about. The defense for the Toronto Maple Leafs having to pick up slack heading into the playoffs because no Nikita Zaitsev. Then in game two, they lose Roman Polak in the second period. They go to double overtime. Basically, the Leafs D take a beating. Afterwards, Mike Babcock says, nope. In fact, they were getting better as the game went on. They're young. We have this sports science team. They're great. They're feeling great. Meh, don't worry about it. But then this is what Barry Trotz had to say about the Leafs defense and perhaps trying to wear them down.
This series is about you know, wearing people down. And, you know, I think we're fine that way. So we just got to continue to, you know, keep sort of pounding the rock, if you will, and see if, you know, you can wear people down. I mean, their D got extended pretty hard last night in a lot of areas. There's 40-plus minutes. Those are hard to recover from.
You're under pressure. You're too tired. Telling the other teams how they should feel. That's how the coaches get involved in this one. But it is a tied series. Game three going tonight. First game at home for the Toronto Maple Leafs since May 12, 2013. We're going to have former Washington Capitol coach Adam Oates join us here on Leafs Lunch next as you continue to listen on TSN 1050 and stream online, tsn.ca. Lease Busters will get you out of your car lease today. It's as easy as pie, a piece of cake. Avoid penalties and early termination fees. Visit leasebusters.com. Leafs getting set to take on the Washington Capitals tonight, game three. Nikita Zaitsev is back in the lineup for the Toronto Maple Leafs. For the Washington Capitals, Carl Alzner was not at morning skate. Barry Trotz saying he'll be a game time decision. We were discussing Austin Matthews, that line, what it would mean to get them going. I mean, the Leafs have been great, you know, put up a fight in game one, going into overtime, game two, double overtime. They pull off the win. The Matthews line, you know, picked up speed in game two, looking to carry that momentum over into game three. But you have to give credit to the Kuznetsov line, who's been tasked with also shutting down Matthews. We talk a lot about Kadri doing what he needs to do against that Backstrom line. Kuznetsov getting it done now with the advantage of being on home ice. We'll see what Mike Babcock does to try and free up the Matthews line. And if Alzner can't go, and I know you say, I mean, their D is so deep, the Washington Capitals, even if Schmidt goes on in and Alzner can't, it's not like it's going to get any easier for the Toronto Maple Leafs, but that's what the Matthews line needs to work around. This is what they need to figure out and how to break free and how to get on the scoreboard.
Yeah, I mean, I think people need to understand that, you know, Austin Matthews isn't satisfied with a good game. Like, that's what people will say. Well, we played well, but he doesn't care. He wants to produce. He wants to be a big part of his team.
Yeah, and that's what you want to hear. That's what you expect from him, right?
He's your captain.
Adam Oates, Hockey Hall of Famer, former Capitals head coach, joining us now on Leafs Lunch. How you doing, Adam?
I'm good, Andy. How are you?
Doing great, getting set for game three here, and love our chatter about the Leafs and Caps and how we have a series. With the Washington Capitals, as we all know, it's no surprise, heading into the series, it was all about this is a team that wants to fight some demons in the playoffs, and they want to get past the second round. But first, you have to get past a very young Leafs squad where, you know, nine rookies made their NHL playoff debut. And I know the Washington Capitals are loaded with talent, and it's not all about Alexander Ovechkin anymore. But how much does he put on his shoulders with the playoffs and the expectation of winning and moving on?
Well, I you know, listening to you guys, just like you talked about Austin Matthews, I mean, he expects to produce. He knows it's been, they've had a few kicks at the cat. They know that everybody's on them and they got the demons. And just like every good player, he expects to produce and carry the team. And that's, you know, that goes with the territory.
Adam, what's it like if you're the Washington Capitals right now? I think I've been trying to talk about today the fact that, you know, they realize they're in a series. It's not the end of the world. Nothing's happened. There's only been two games. I think a lot of people here in Toronto get wrapped up in that, you know, it's 1-1 and maybe Washington hasn't played as well as they would have wanted to. And what's it like if you're in the Washington shoes?
It's, you know what, it's a good question. I wish I could answer it tomorrow instead of today. You know, it's this is all part of sports and being a pro. You know, like, they were heavily favored. They're not now. And I think everybody knows that. I think Toronto had some good things happen to them. And, you know, they score first minute of the first game, which put everybody on their heels, and it was a good hockey game. Could have gone either way. They score first again in game two, and they hold on and win. Big goal in overtime. And, you know, one of the things Toronto has that is an equalizer is, you know, both teams in this series have great power plays. And I think Toronto's power play is a cure-all, because I don't think Washington can play as physical as they really want to, because, you know what, we can lose because of that. So I think that puts something in everybody's head. I think that's a little bit in Washington's head. And you know what, I know Toronto has a lot of young guys, but they're very well coached. They play smart. They don't give you much, and they've gained a lot of confidence. So that if you're Washington, you expect a really, really difficult game tonight, and you should be prepared for that.
There's a lot of great talent on the ice as far as the players are concerned, but when you look at the goaltending battle that's going on right now, and we all know what Braden Holtby's capable of. We keep talking about him being a Vezina finalist. And Freddie Anderson, his numbers have been really good, but it's been a year of firsts for him, right? Like, there's no doubt he's the number one guy here. Played the most games he's ever played in his career. Has had to adjust to a team with rookies, a team that doesn't exactly have the strongest D-core. But what's impressed you looking at Frederick Anderson and what he's been able to do in these past two games?
You know what, I think he's played very well. Obviously, I think he wants the overtime goal back from game one, but then he made a fantastic save late in the game in game two. So you're kind of even. And, you know, working for Lou Lamoriello for a few years, I know how much faith he puts in that position, you know, having Marty Brodeur all those years. And I think the goalie knows that that's part of what Toronto's going to build here. Like, you're going to be our guy. So we'll fight through a bad goal. We'll fight through a bad game because we believe in you. And hopefully that gives him a little confidence. And you know what? He's played very good hockey. Nobody's perfect. And you know what? We're in a good spot right now.
Mm-hmm. If you're Washington, we heard Barry Trotz basically say that he wants to wear down the D. What's your game plan going into game three, even though they get Nikita Zaitsev back? But again, you know, everyone has talked about that the D core is not the strongest for the Toronto Maple Leafs. What's your game plan if you're the Washington Capitals?
You know, one thing that obviously helps is faceoffs. You know, if you get the puck, you get an opportunity to put it in the right spots where you can go in and try and pressure the D. And, you know, you got some guys like Tom Wilson that are very physical guys that can come in and bang. But then there's also another type of pressure. You know, you got a guy like Kuznetsov who's not a banger, but his tenacity and his hands can put pressure on D as well. And you know what? In saying that, Toronto's in the same boat. You know, John Carlson and, you know, the right side pretty much are puck movers. The left side aren't necessarily puck movers. They're physical defensemen that get the job done, obviously good players. But Toronto has the same ability with their speed to put pressure on Washington's D. So you have this kind of cat-and-mouse game going all the time. And it's easy to say we want to wear the D down, but if the puck's in the other end, you're not going to. If you're on your heels, you're not going to. So I think there's a lot of ways Toronto can avoid that, and I'm sure Mike knows what he's doing to do that.
Do you think it hurts the Leafs? I mean, Roman Polak was their most physical defenseman. Do you think that's going to hurt them, missing that physical presence on the blue line against the Caps?
Well, they got a good guy coming into the lineup, but you know what? You always miss all your players. You know, you patch the dike, but you do miss guys, and to have a, you know, last change and then being able to bring a physical guy out there to maybe neutralize someone on the other side does hurt, but you have to overcome that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what the Leafs so far did in at least game two there. Thanks so much for taking the time, Adam.
My pleasure.
That is Adam Oates, Hockey Hall of Famer and former head coach of the Washington Capitals. He was part of their... what was the lockout shortened season, 2012-13. He was the head coach there, where they basically won 15 of their last 19 to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then lost in the first round there. So he knows about the playoff woes when it comes to the Washington Capitals. But we're only two games in. There's nothing to be woe about. But if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs, you're feeling good because you took a game in Washington. Now you're back home. Brooks Orpik apparently did reach out to Roman Polak. Says you always want to play a physical game. You want to wear guys down, but you never want to see that. And everyone is surprised, because that's how tough Roman Polak is. Even Brooks Orpik said when he stayed down, it was a shock to everybody.
Yeah, Brooks Orpik has been known to have some cheap hits in his day. He's a player that, and it's funny, it's not funny, but it's because Polak's a defenseman, he wouldn't be as aware that when you make the play that Polak made, like he jumped up and was trying to get the red line, he wanted to dump the puck in or skate it in, he wouldn't be as aware that a guy like Orpik is looking to take your head off when you make that play. You know what I mean? So he would have been more surprised by that. As a forward, he's a guy that you have to be aware of on the ice because he's looking to step up and hit guys. But that hit was as clean as could be. It just...
Right, Polak's toe got stuck
way,
in the ice
The way he landed is really unfortunate because that is a serious, serious injury. Like months and months and months.
So based on the way Mike Babcock's been playing the defense, and we keep talking about the minutes that they've been playing. Now, granted, that's also because two games went into overtime, the second one double overtime. Is this still a matter of, let me see how you're playing, and that'll dictate how you get your minutes? It's not like, well, Riley Gardner, for sure you're going to be putting up the most minutes. Or will he still rely heavily on them? Or is it a matter of, let me see how you're playing, and that'll dictate your minutes? Because at the top of the show, or the top of our first hour, we talked about how surprised we were at Connor Carrick getting less minutes than Martin Marincin. Martin Marincin, granted, you can add 4 minutes there because of penalty kill. But is that how we're going to see this defense flow? It really is how you're doing in the moment, in the game. That'll dictate how much you play.
I would say for Carrick and Marincin, certainly. But you can't play 4D the whole game. Those other guys have to play. And you can't go a crazy long amount of time without playing those guys either, because you can't wait two periods and then decide to put them on the ice. They'd be useless at that point. So it's about managing, but with Zaitsev back, they're going to ride that top four as much as they can. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it works. And with the other two, if Marincin is getting owned, I'd imagine Carrick would play more than him. It's not anything other than...
Mm-hmm. So the story kind of sort of flipping just a little bit two games in. Heading into the series, it was all talk about Washington Capitals and the big heavy team, and Braden Holtby's really good in net, and even if you manage to get through a really strong team, you got to face him, and President's Trophy winners 2 years in a row. Well, now a lot of questions being asked about how good are the Leafs? How much are they surprising you? Look at what they're doing, even though they've been injured on the blue line. So this is what Barry Trotz had to say on if he's been surprised by the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first two games of the series.
Yeah, I think since February 1, there's only 4 points separating the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Washington Capitals. I look at the depth of their forwards. They can match up with any team in the National Hockey League. Their goaltending has been excellent. They're a little bit depleted on defense. I think believe that they're getting Zaitsev back today. He's a good player. They were young at the start of the year. They got better and better. They've had a full season, so they're not those raw rookies that you started out with. And Mike's done a good job. So when you look at their hockey team, they got a very good hockey team. I'm not surprised at all. It's just going to be a tight series.
Should we be done with the rookie narrative? Like, is it done to say they're young, they're experiencing this for the first time? I mean, now I know it's only two games in, but are we just kind of done with that too?
I can tell you this much. The guys, it's not an issue with the players on the Leafs team, and it's certainly not being talked about by the players on the other team. So who's talking about it?
Mm-hmm.
It's the media, because it's everybody wants to send the tweet out that Mitch Marner got the first goal since whoever 30 years ago. So, you've played enough. You're not a rookie. You shouldn't be surprised anymore. You've got two playoff games under your belt. The only difference in this series right now that wasn't there before it started was people on the outside thinking Washington was going to have their way with the Leafs. You don't know what... Like, Barry Trotz, they just said since February 1st. Like, do you think his team doesn't know that?
Mm-hmm.
So there's no surprises here. Like, the Leafs are a good team. That's it. And I don't know if it's because it's Toronto in that whole thing where, it's like they couldn't possibly be a good team. There's got to be more to it. Oh, they're young or, like,
I told you,
it's just that simple.
I think some of it also has to do with a fan base that's been jaded. right? Like, they've been hurt. And I think that is the wall that goes up to protect you from disappointment. I mean, there are some fans that have just jumped in wholeheartedly. They're right back in it. Go Leafs, go. We don't care what they're saying about Washington. If anything, we're going to get the win in four straight. And God bless that.
That's also stupid, too.
Yeah, but I mean, you have those, then you have those who are still... But I also feel like it's a no-win situation no matter what if you're in Toronto, because if you talk about the other team too much, it's, well, why don't you show love for your team? But then when you talk about how good your team is, it's like, well, look, see, this is why we can't stand Toronto media, because you're already saying how good you are and you haven't won anything. It's like, well, yeah, what are we supposed to talk about?
Yeah, if social media didn't exist, all of this would be a lot better. You'd have a much better vibe.
We're calling for the end of Twitter.
At the end of the day, there's never been a series. That's why you play best of seven. That's why hockey's the best. Because there's no way to fake it. There's never been a team. I see lots of these people, too, on Twitter talking about how the Minnesota Wild have been the much better team through three games. No, you haven't. You've had more shots and shot attempts, but you haven't had enough scoring chances from the inside. And St. Louis has had a better goalie. And guess what? Those guys are allowed to be the best player on your team once in a while. Just like Freddie was for the first half of that game. Without him, they don't have a sniff.
Mm-hmm.
So there's never been a series in the history of time where the team won didn't deserve to win. It's too hard to win four games by chance. It's that simple.
Well, game three goes tonight. After both these games going into overtime, who knows what this one's going to hold. So how about we put out a message now to the city of Toronto? In case this does go to double overtime, can you please keep the subways and the GO train and the public transportation going for long hours? Because we don't need anybody stranded, and we don't need anybody paying big bucks for taxi or Uber to get home. So just in case, Mayor John Tory, can we just maybe put public transportation on notice that this could go double, triple, and they still, you know, the drunken fans need to get home safely. How about that? How about that? We put that out there right now.
I'm sure if you said we'll pay extra, they'll open the doors for you. Right?
All about money. Hey, Dark Guy's going to be on Overdrive, by the way. We didn't give an honorable mention to Dark Guy on Grades of the Game. We should have. He's going to be on Overdrive, and the Leafs, I think they bought him. Did they buy him tickets for game three?
Yeah, I think so.
See, that's what happens when you shave your head in a weird way, paint your face.
No, listen, nobody in the U.S. uses dart as a term for a cigarette.
Really?
So I had a lot of people asking me, like, what is a dart? Like, what is that? So that's a Canadian thing, so you know.
Oh, no. Hey, look, being married to an American, there are some weird things that he says. So I'm like, that's an American thing. But yeah, Dark Guy, he'll be on Overdrive. That's it for us. Getting set for game three. We'll check in with you tomorrow on Leafs Lunch.